Please open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Well done, well done. Don't you want that said at the end of your life? Wouldn't that be a great thing to put on your tombstone if you're going to have one? That you ran the race well. And when you get old like Bob and I, you look more and more forward to the finish line. I can't believe that this week will be one year that my dad went on to heaven, and on his card we put, well done. That's what should be said of every Christian, well done. We want God to say that, not other people. So we're looking at chapter 12, the passage of Scripture that was read to you earlier. Running well. Let's pray. Father, as we look at your word again, as we do week after week and throughout the week, and we study it and we read it ourselves, and we love your word, but we don't just love the words, we want it into our lives, into our practice daily. So motivate us, encourage us by your Holy Spirit as we study these verses this morning. In the name of Jesus, for his sake, amen. The Christian life is often illustrated by daily events. You walk, and the Christian life is described as your walk, as you walk around. The Christian life is described as war, to be a good soldier, to put on the full armor of God. You are a farmer. You plant, you water, you weed, you harvest. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 says it's like a race. He uses the same symbolism in Philippians. He says, I want to run well. I don't want to run in vain. We are called slaves of Christ. Jesus said, you are salt, you are light. Peter says we are like babies as new Christians, but are to grow up, and we are living stones built into a holy temple. And the writer of Hebrews uses that picture of a race. We are in a race. And we want to see how the Christian life is like a race and how that encourages us. How it is compared to a faithful life in Christ. Now notice the first word of chapter 12 is what? Always, I've told you for years, whenever you see a therefore in Scripture, ask this question, what's it there for? Because it ties back to everything else we've learned in the book, that Christ is better. Is Christ better? Yes. Is he a better high priest, a better sacrifice, on and on and on and on? Yes, better, better, better. Therefore, because of all that you know, and chapter 11, all those great examples of faith, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us do what? Run with what? Perseverance, the race marked out for us. The key phrase in this passage is this. Let us run. Repeat it after me. Let us run. What was that? Let's try it again. Let us run with perseverance. Or if you don't like the word perseverance, let us run with endurance. Endurance. Hang in there. If you are a Christian, are there any Christians in the house today? I'm speaking to Christians. Then you are in the race. The question is, are you in it to win? Do you want to pass the finish line with flying colors, or do you want to just kind of roll over the finish line? Do you want well done, or finally you got here? In it to win. Don't give up. If you're not a Christian, then get in the race. You're either in the race or you're not in the race. And sometimes you wonder if other Christians are really in the race. Sometimes they're not running at all, looks like. Sometimes they're jogging. Sometimes they're walking. Sometimes they're sitting on the sidelines watching everybody else run. Some of them are even over there in the hammock. Some think they're in the stands, spectators, watching everybody run. Therefore, the writer of Hebrews says, you're in the race. And don't forget that. And get with it. Turn it on. Run. Now, the word race, in the original language that the writer would have written, would have been Greek, is the word agon. Now, think of that. What English word might we get from agon? You just put a Y on and you've got agony. What's agony? Pain. That's the Greek word for the race. It's an agony. You see, the race of the Christian life is not a passive luxury. Well, I'm just floating by. It is agony. It is demanding. It is grueling. It is agonizing. And it requires discipline and determination and endurance. You know, God warned Israel way back through the prophet Amos, Amos 6:1, God's words to his people, woe to those who are complacent. Now, let's say that one after me. Woe to those. Wait, with some emphasis. Woe to those who are complacent. That is a big problem in the church today. We get complacent. Somebody else will do it. Somebody else will do that. We want to be entertained. We think we're on the sidelines. Woe. Say it again. Woe. Woe doesn't mean that's a good thing. That means God's going to get you. All right? So, woe to those who are complacent. God never called his people to lie around on beds of ease. We are in an agonizing race that is strenuous, that is continuous. You know, in God's army, any of you ever been in the military? Anybody ever know anybody? You know, anybody here know what the military is? Okay. In the military, what are some of your favorite words to hear? Chow. At ease. As you were. In God's army, and we're in God's army, are we not? You will never hear at ease. You will never hear as you were. We are in a race. And to stand still or to go backwards is to forfeit the prize of the race. And there's no shortcuts. Remember a few years ago in the Boston Marathon, a lady who took off to the side and went around, took a shortcut, and came in front across the finish line. What happened to her? She was disqualified. There are no shortcuts in the Christian race. And if you're not in the race and you're not running, you forfeit the prize. You won't win. Notice he says, run with what? Endurance or perseverance. That means steady determination to keep going. How often do you want to quit in the race, the Christian life? Probably a lot. How many times have you quit? How many times you just said, I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm tired of it. I heard someone tell me that just a couple of weeks ago. I'm done. What happened to the prize then? If you don't cross the finish line, you don't get the prize. To stand, it means steady determination to keep going. To keep on when everything in you wants to slow down, wants to give up. When your legs get wobbly, when your chest is heaving because you can't get enough air, when your mouth turns to cotton, you keep going until you fall dead at the finish line. Isn't that a great picture? Because you're not going to cross the finish line until you're dead. But keep running. How long will you keep running the race? What would it take for you to give up? That tells us a lot about our faith, doesn't it? If this would cause me to quit running the race, then I'm pretty weak in my faith. What do we find from chapter 11? How many of those people gave up? How many of them received what was promised? None of them, remember last week? But they kept on running. And there will be obstacles. Just understand that. It's not going to be easy, the Christian life. There will be obstacles. You will get tired. You will get exhausted. But we must endure to win. What is God concerned about? Is God concerned about who gets across the finish line faster? Is God concerned with who had the better jogging suit in the race? God is concerned with steadfastness. Just say that word out loud. That's a hard word for us. Steadfastness. That means keep it going. Keep on. The Christian life, if you're going to go get in the hammock and go to sleep, at least write this down. Stay awake this far, okay? The Christian life is not a sprint. It's a marathon. And what's the difference in a sprint and a marathon? We could all sprint. How many of us can sprint? How many of us can sprint from your easy chair to the table? You sprint. I got there. Woo! Woo! How many of you could run a marathon? Christian life is not just, oh, you know how many start out really, really well, but don't go the distance? There's a big difference in being a sprinter and a marathon runner. A sprinter may be 50 yards. I'm done. A marathon runner, cross country, on and on and on. How about you and me? Do we start out really well? Yay, God! Are we going the distance? When the new wears off, when problems come into our lives, what about these Hebrews that this book is originally written to? We're thinking about going back to Judaism. And with that, you know, this Christian life, even though you say it's better, there's persecution and there's suffering and there's problems. So they become weak. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where Paul, the apostle, uses this picture. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Now, there's a difference than the Christian life. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone goes into the games, goes into what? Strict training. And they do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. How about Philippians chapter 3? In verse 12. He says, not that I've already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of what that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself, you have to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. There is no sense being in a race if you don't have any or very little desire to win. Why would you go into strict training and enter a race and have no desire to win? When you look at the World Series, do the teams have a desire to win or they're just there for the fun of it? They want to win. Would you want someone on your team who says, you know, I really don't care if we win or lose today. It's just I love playing the game. Maybe in for fun, yes, but professionally? You want people with determination. There's no sense being in the race that is marked out for us, the Christian life, if we don't have a desire to win. Do you want to win? Do you want to cross the finish line? Do you want God to say, well done? Do you want to do it for a wreath made out of leaves, or do you want a ribbon, or do you want it for pleasing God? Yeah, but that is the problem with a lot of Christians. And I'm just lollygagging around. Oh, you're in a race. It's agony. It's endurance. No, I'm just strolling along. Que sera, sera. That is unacceptable to God. Because it's really about running the race. Our competition in the Christian life is different in a couple of ways, though. And please mark this down. This is important. We are not in competition with other Christians. That's not the what the race is all about. Nor is are we to run in the race against one another. Otherwise, we'd be pushing each other out of their lane. I'm running up next to Edmund and I trip him. Ha-ha, I'm farther along than Edmund now. That's not the idea. And it's not, hey, I'm running faster than you are. That's not the idea. If that were true, then we would try to outdo one another, wouldn't we? I'm faster. Okay, you want to be faster in this race? Do you want to be faster? Think about that before you answer that, because you don't cross the finish line until you die. So if you say, I want to be faster than everybody else, then you want to die sooner. Uh-oh, you want to get there quicker? Maybe. We're not trying to outrun each other or outdo each other. Our race is not a race of works that I'm working harder than you, but it is a race of faith. Steadfast in faith. And our competition is not each other. Our competition is the devil and the world system and the flesh of our own desires. And the second difference is that our strength is not in ourselves. Our strength is in the Holy Spirit of God. Otherwise, we would never endure. Let's just understand that. We would never endure in our own strength. We are called to endure in Him, not in ourselves. And as a Christian, you and I have only one way to endure, and that's by faith. And when I fail, when I sin, when I give up, I'm not trusting God. That's why our protection against Satan, what does Ephesians 6:16 say? Put on the shield of what? Shield of what? Faith. And when by faith, by trusting God, I'm doing what God wants me to do, then Satan and sin have no power over us. Isn't that cool? It's when I don't trust God that I'm giving Satan power. Satan has no way of getting to us, of hindering us, if we trust God. So the event is the race. And then notice also in verse 1, the encouragement to run. The encouragement to run. We need motivation, don't we? We need a reason to do the things we're supposed to do. What's your motivation to sprint from the easy chair to the table? You're hungry. What's the motivation to get up in the morning? Oh, that's a hard one. Your wife poked you and said, get up. It's 10:30 in the morning. Come on, get up. The smell of coffee? You have a job? Your back hurts so bad you can't stay in bed anymore, so might as well get up. I mean, the bathroom? What's your motivation? But we need motivation. We're creatures of motivation, a reason to do, and we need encouragement as while we're doing that. And so chapter 11 was a list of all of these people who by faith, who never received, but they trusted God. And so chapter 12 begins, therefore. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, who's the cloud of witnesses? All those faithful saints and examples of chapter 11. What is the writer telling us to do? Run like they did. Always trusting God, not giving up, no matter what the obstacles were. They knew how to run the race of faith, didn't they? Just say, yeah. Yes, they did. No matter the obstacles, no matter the cost, no matter the pain, they didn't give up. They knew how to run. Look at, remember what we learned in chapter 11. Therefore, they conquered Pharaohs. They opposed Pharaoh. They forsook pleasures. They passed through the Red Sea. They shouted down the walls of Jericho. They conquered kingdoms. They shut the lion's mouth. They quenched the flaming fire. They were beaten. They were mocked. They were put in jail. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were had to dress in animal skins. They were made destitute. But they kept on running. And they didn't quit. And it was all because they trusted God. And the writer is saying, we should run like that. That's how we should run. It can be done. If you run in faith, you can run like they did. That doesn't mean you do the same things they did, but you can run like they did in faith because your faith is in the same God. And they ran and they ran and they ran and they ran and they never quit. We should run like that. Therefore, it can be done if you run in faith. Now, this cloud, a cloud of witnesses. What are they doing? I've always heard, and as I studied this more, I disagree with what I always thought. I always thought they were up there in the stands, cheering us on. There's Abraham and Moses and David and Isaiah and Joseph, and they're saying, come on, Morgan, you can run. Come on, come on, come on. Now, how many of you think have thought that? Let me tell you, you're wrong. I don't want to make you feel bad, but that's what I always thought. But the more I studied this, I realized they're not sitting in the stands watching us. If that was, the point is not that we want to run so well we don't disappoint Abraham. We don't want to disappoint Noah, do we? That's not the point. If that were the point, then we'd try to impress them. Hey, Abe. You thought you were so faithful. Watch this. Hey, Noah. Oh, yeah, you built that ark, but you watch me and my faith. That's not the point. Watch this, Noah. They're not fans in the bleachers. They've already won. They've already crossed the line. They've already finished the race. They are witnesses primarily to God, not to us. They are examples. They did it. But they are not onlookers cheering us on. We're not trying to impress them in the stands. They've already proved their lives of faith. They've already proved that the only way to live, the only way to run, is by faith. Now think about this. If they were in the bleachers and you're on the track running this race, they would paralyze us, wouldn't they? Uh-oh. Remember what Abraham did? I got to be that faithful. Oh, Noah, get me a hammer. I got to build an ark. That would paralyze us. You know, one of my sons, I won't mention his name, but all my sons played South Valley Little League a long time ago. My sons, who are all now weightlifters and bulked up guys, weren't really that good at baseball. You know? They were more into, they did better in wrestling. But I remember I won't mention his name, but my youngest son, when he was in T-ball, with this son, the uniform, the costume was the whole thing. He loved the costume. One year he was the Pirates. One year he was the Mariners. You know, he loved the costume. And one time he finally got a hit and he was rounding first base. And we're in the stands and his mom says, you go, Mike. And she's got her camera up. He stops between first and second base and poses. It was all about the costume. See, if we were running for Moses and Abraham up there in the stands, we would all say, hey, watch this, Moses. Oh, it would paralyze us. We're running for God. They did it. They are witnesses to us, but they're not yelling for us because they've already crossed the line. They're not looking at us, hey, we're to follow their example and do like they did. They are encouraging to us by their example. But get this, you can run as well as Abraham did, as well as Noah, not compared to them. But what does God compare? Your faith, your trust in God. We run, serve the same God, and He can work through us because of our faith if we trust Him. Let's also look at the encumbrances. What's an encumbrance? I'm hard of hearing. I'm almost as old as Tina now, so I can't hear well. What's an encumbrance? What? Slows you down. He says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. You know, the great problem of running, if you've ever been a runner, and I know you won't believe this, but there was a time I used to run. And I ran 10Ks. I never ran a marathon. The furthest I've ever run without stopping was 7 or 8 miles. That was a long time ago. But I can tell you this. You know what slows you down as an athlete? You know something we don't want to talk about? Weight. How many guys like my age tell you, I used to run, I used to do that, and you look at us and you say, but that belly? Weight slows you down. Now, please do not be offended. I'm not talking about primarily here physical weight. But we know that's true in sports, isn't it? It slows us down. In boxing, in wrestling, you are disqualified if you don't make weight. So I tell you that because hinders, this word, are sometimes translated encumbrance, means a bulk or a mass of something. How many of us have a bulk or a mass of something? Now, don't be offended. I'm not talking about your weight. I'm talking about things that slow you down in the Christian life. It's a bulk. It's a mass. It may not be bad in itself. It's not so bad. It may be something perfectly innocent. It may be harmless. Or maybe it's not harmless. Maybe it's harmful. Maybe it's not innocent. But it's anything that weighs us down. I never preached a sermon on the sins of watching television. Television can be good. Television can be bad. But could you be encumbered by too much TV? If it takes you away from God? Of course. And you can apply that to a lot of things. It's the idea of anything that weighs you down, that diminishes your attention to God, that zaps your energy, that dampens your enthusiasm for the things of God. He's saying you can't win. You're not going to run well if you're carrying excess weight. Anything that keeps us from running well. In sports, especially where speed or endurance really count. What do the athletes have to do before an event? They weigh in. And that is often a test of being in shape. That's true even of, you know, if you're a lineman in football, you're supposed to be big. But have you ever seen a lineman, 382 pounds, pick up a fumble and try to make it to the goal line? You could go eat a sandwich and come back before he gets there. It weighs you down. In Marine boot camp, when you show up to boot camp, you're supposed to be a certain weight for your height. And if you're not in that weight bracket, You are put in a different platoon. And I call my son this week and I said, what's the name of that platoon boot camp? He said, it's the fat body platoon. So you're 13 weeks at Marine boot camp. You're supposed to have 13 weeks. If you're carrying too much weight, it may not be 13 weeks. It may be 16, 18, 25 weeks, a half a year until they get you to the right weight. Now, again, please do not think I'm talking about our weight. And everybody goes, oh, now he's preaching against weight. That's the correlation he uses here to things that weigh us down from running the Christian life. It's not your physical weight, but it's other stuff you're carrying around that's slowing you down. Knock it off, he says. Get rid of it. And when we're over the weight limit, we are put on a stricter diet, a program until we're where we should be. And if that doesn't work, then you're put on the bench. And if that doesn't work, you're off the team. Too much clothing can be a hindrance too. I'm not advocating disrobe. But you get the correlation. You know, dress blues in the military, they are wonderful for parades and pictures. They're not very good for running. They're not very good for battle. Sweatsuits are fine for warming up, aren't they? You ever watch your basketball game? They come out and they warm up. What are they wearing? Sweats to warm up. When the game starts, how many of them can have the sweat still on? They take them off. It hinders them. When the game comes, you strip it off. Now, I'm advocating clothing that is decent. Don't show up next Sunday with nothing on and say, that's what I learned in the sermon. No. When you and I are more concerned with appearance, you like my jogging suit? Woo! You like my... When we're more concerned with appearance in the Christian life than real faith, we're seriously hindered. Some hindrances we put them on ourselves, don't we? Sometimes others try to put hindrances on us. What is it that hinders us? Well, habits, maybe legalism, like a ball and chain. Why would you put on something like that? How many of you ever worn to get in shape weights around your wrist or around your ankles or those vests? Well, you'd look like a fool, though, if you came to race day and left them on. Why hinder yourself with all that stuff that's weighing us down? You know, what about other Christians? You can't blame it all on other Christians, but sometimes Christians who aren't running are trying to keep us from running. They're sitting on the track. You have to hurdle them, jump over them. And Satan puts hindrances, obstacles in our path. Sometimes we do his work for him. But notice verse 21. Chapter 12, verse 1. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out with us. To do that, let us throw off everything that hinders and what else? The sin. Lay aside sin. The word throw off there means it's just like you take, throw it off, get rid of it. The biggest hindrance is sin, isn't it? Keeps us from running well. Which sin keeps you from running well? All of them. Well, we want to like the general, but I want you to notice something in verse 1. He says, the sin. Did you catch that? He doesn't say throw off sin, which we need to do, but he says the sin. Like a particular sin. And what would that be? What is the particular sin that really slows you down? Unbelief. What's chapter 11 all about? Faith, 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 faith. If you don't trust God, that's going to slow you down. The sin of not trusting God. Doubting and running well in faith are a contradiction. Unbelief, notice he says, entangles us. How easily does it entangle you? He says, easily entangles you. Unbelief trips us up in the race. Trips up our feet so we can't run very well. We stumble. Notice he says, easily. When I allow sin and doubting God to rule my life, you know, how hard do you have to work at that? How hard do you have to work at sin? Anybody, you got an answer? How many of you are just, you know, you come next Sunday and says, man, I've really been working on trying to sin. And I just can't sin. I've been researching it and trying to fall into sin, and I've just been really working hard, and I'm not successful. Is sin really hard? Easy. How hard is it to really trust God? That's hard work. The sin easily entangles you. You don't have to work hard at not trusting God. You got enough of your flesh telling you don't trust God. You got the devil telling you not to trust God. You got the people around you not telling you not to trust God. It's easy. But to really live a life and run well, a life of faith, that's hard work. That takes endurance to trust God. And he goes on, the example to follow and the end of the race and the exhortation. We'll look at that next week. I'd like to take you to Galatians 2:20. Paul writes these words. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if by righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. I want to just focus on that one part of verse 20. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. Let's put that up there. Would you read that with me? The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. Can I ask us a question? What keeps you from honestly saying that? The life I run, the race I run, the life I live in the body, I live it by faith in the Son of God. What keeps you and me from honestly saying and living those words? What am I allowing to trip me up, to entangle me? What am I allowing to weigh me down? So that verse isn't a reality in my life. What sin am I wrapped up in? Am I running to win? Running well? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for these words of encouragement. Help us to understand what you are saying through your Holy Spirit. It's not about physical weight or being out of physical shape. It's about our spiritual shape, about sin. It's about habits that are maybe fine for a while, but have just weighed us down and hindered us, encumbered us. Thank you for the example of all those people who've run before us. Help us keep our eyes on Christ at the finish line. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.